If the defining economists of the Cold War system were Karl Marx and John Maynard Keynes, who each in his own way wanted to tame capitalism, the defining economists of the globalization system are Joseph Schumpeter and former Intel CEO Andy Grove, who prefer to unleash capitalism. Schumpeter is a former Austrian minister of finance and Harvard Business School professor. In his classic work, Capitalism, Socialism, and Democracy, he expressed the view that the essence of capitalism is the process of creative destruction, the perpetual cycle of destroying the old and less efficient product or service and replacing it with new, more efficient ones. Andy Grove took Schumpeter's insight that only the paranoid survive for the title of his book on life in Silicon Valley. And Grove made that insight in many ways the business model of globalization capitalism. Grove helped to popularize the view that dramatic, industry-transforming innovations are taking place today faster and faster. Thanks to these technological breakthroughs, the speed by which your latest invention can be made obsolete or turned into a commodity is now lightning quick. Therefore, only the paranoid, only those who are constantly looking over their shoulders to see who is creating something new that will destroy them and then staying just one step ahead of them, will survive. Those countries that are most willing to let capitalism quickly destroy inefficient companies so that money can be freed up and directed to more innovative ones will thrive in the era of globalization. Those which rely on their governments to protect them from such creative destruction will fall behind in this era. James Surovsky, the business columnist for Slate magazine, reviewing Andy Grove's book, neatly summarized what Schumpeter and Grove have in common, which is the essence of globalization economics. This is how Surovsky describes the new economic structure. Innovation replaces tradition. Present, or perhaps the future, replaces the past. Nothing matters so much as what will come next, and what will come next can only arrive if what is here now gets overturned. While this makes the system a terrific place for innovation, it makes it a difficult place to live, since most people prefer some measure of security about the future to a life lived in almost constant uncertainty. We are not forced to recreate our relationships with those close to us on a regular basis, and yet that's precisely what Schumpeter and Grove after him suggest is necessary to prosper today. To paraphrase German political theorist Carl Schmitt, the Cold War was a world of friends and enemies. The globalization world, by contrast, tends to turn all friends and enemies into competitors. In the Cold War, we reached for the hotline between the White House and the Kremlin, a symbol that we were all divided, but at least someone, the two superpowers, was in charge. In the era of globalization, we reach for the internet, a symbol that we are all connected, but nobody is in charge. The defining defense system of the Cold War was radar, to expose the threats coming from the other side of the wall. The defining defense system of the globalization era is the X-ray machine, to expose the threats coming from within. Globalization also has its own demographic pattern, a rapid acceleration of the movement of people from rural areas and agricultural lifestyles to urban areas and urban lifestyles more intimately linked with global fashion, food, markets, and entertainment trends. Last and most important, globalization has its own defining structure of power, which is much more complex than the Cold War structure. The Cold War system was built exclusively around nation-states, and it was balanced at the center by two superpowers, the United States and the Soviet Union. The globalization system, by contrast, is built around three balances which overlap and affect one another. The first is the traditional balance between nation-states. In the globalization system, the United States is now the sole and dominant superpower, and all other nations are subordinate to it to one degree or another. The balance of power between the United States and the other states still matters for the stability of this system.